on the Wake Up Radio. I am your host, Joel Saji. Make me free.
You're no free, man.
Make me free.
You ain't free, man.
I've come to tell you that I'm free.
Make me free. Want to welcome you to tonight's show on the Wake Up Radio. I am your host, Joel Saji. Want to welcome you to my show, Make Me Free. We also want to shout out Ra on the keyboards and the producer, Sydney Ashby, as well. And you can catch all replays on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher as well. Please donate if you can to $5 or any amount which will go necessarily to the website or for due airtime. It's a labor of love. But we still live in a costly world. And if you appreciate free content, please help with us. Please help us to keep the message uncensored and free. You can also donate through PayPal and on the Wake Up Radio at gmail.com. And as a welcoming to tonight's show, I want to welcome my guest, Yarima Kamara. Are you on the air?
Karama. Yes, I'm here.
Karama?
Karama. Yes.
Thank you for correcting me. But how are you feeling tonight, man? I want to thank you again for tuning in. I know you got a busy schedule out there.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. You know, Cindy, we're good friends. So anything the Queen is doing and you all are doing, man, I'm down with it. I love this. And I think we need more of these formats, what you're doing here, to get messages out to the people, you know, because we don't really have our own big media. It's all corporate run, corporate controlled. So these outlets right here, they're empowering for our people, and we got to use them. So I thank you for having me on, brother.
Well, you know, I just want to backpedal on that a little bit, because I did hear you respond on the topic or question that was asked upon you about you reaching out to have you reached out to such and such format or such and such entity or anything like that. And you said you have always reached out. It was just a response that was kind of lacking.
Yeah. And you know, so I you know, brothers had got on my feed earlier. It was actually 2017. It got on my feed and was like, yo, as a matter of fact, I remember exactly, it was January 2017, and they were like, Yarima, it would be great to have all the quote unquote conscious leaders in our community connect and get together. And at the time, I was connected with Jay Morrison at the time, and I was like, yeah, boys, why can't all of them? I've sat down with Dr. Umar Boyce, even David Banner and Big Mike, and I was like, yeah. And so I've reached out specifically to some, didn't get a response, and specifically did a YouTube video where I actually reached out to Tariq. It was Tariq and two other queens, ladies, and they didn't reach back. So I was just like, you know, I know people are getting a message, but sometimes, man, people have platforms. They don't want to share those platforms. And I just think it's a disservice to our people when we're trying to bring our melanated family together and the leadership can't even get together. I think it says a lot about ego and selfishness on our part. And I just don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, I kind of took that as in question as well. When I did hear you speak up on that and the response that you did, I kind of found that in question as well. So I thought I better reach out myself and see, you know, how this format go in response and see what the format go as far as response time. And you did respond back definitely to me. So in retrospect, that's why we're on here tonight, you know, just trying to put this thing together like glue, I would say.
Yes. Absolutely. And I love the topic tonight, too. So I'm ready.
All right. So, yeah, well, and again, I did get this again just off some quotes that I did hear you speak up on one day. And you did come up with the quote that kind of like stuck in my head above all was the measure that you said when you said no compromise, no negotiation. And I just want you to speak up on that just a little bit more, just to give everybody just a clear format of what that truly means.
well, no compromise, no negotiations means that for for a long time now, you know, we have tried to amalgamate into this society. We've tried to show our loyalty, and we haven't tried. We've actually done it. Like our mm-hmm. ancestors have fought in wars for this country. We have done our best to take on the European mindset. We've done our best to take on European culture. And in some cases, we've done it better than the Europeans themselves. And so at this stage in the game, you know, when we look at the last 50 years and you look at the fact that we as a group of people have not made any strides in 50 years, this is statistically, we have not made any strides. As a matter of fact, we have digressed in some areas. When you look at those numbers, it's demoralizing. So my thing is, you know, we're being slaughtered out here in the streets. You know, our black women and our black children are being accosted, being harassed. Our black men are being killed. And if they're not being killed, they're being herded into prisons all across the country in droves. So my thing is no surrender, no compromise. Unapologetically black first, and not apologizing for that. Wanting to save our people first, not apologizing for that. We don't owe anybody. I think Dr. John Henry Clark said it best. We don't owe the Europeans anything except an ass whooping. And so I listen to my older scholars, my elders, by the works that they have left behind. And it's just saying, hey, you know, all the killing, all the dying, we're not going for that. No compromise. No compromise. No, we're not going to negotiate that. One thing I get invited to a lot of things that I turn down because I let people know I'm not going to negotiate. We're not going to sit here and negotiate what happened to our ancestors. We're not going to negotiate that. We're not going to have a back and forth about that. These are the facts. This is what happened to our ancestors. Just as you're not going to sit there and negotiate with the fake Ashkenazi Jews over there in Israel. You're not going to negotiate with them. They're actually not going to negotiate with you. They're not going to sit down with you and even negotiate about whether the Holocaust took place or not. So we don't have any cause to negotiate and compromise with anybody on anything. This is what happened. This is what's owed to us as a people. And now it's time for us to insulate ourselves. It's time for us to stop making the excuses, and it's time for us as a group of melanated people to start doing the necessary work to insulate ourselves and to build our empire. And we should not feel any type of way about that except energetic about wanting to do that.
Now, what about those different ethnic groups that may think of us as holding us some type of temper tantrum? Folding our eyes in the corner and stomping our feet until we get some type of hearsay. What about to those that may say that?
You know, I had that question posed to me recently. I was at an event in New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Actually, New Brunswick, New Jersey. And I was there at an event with Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who's another brilliant scholar of ours, an elder. And a young sister in the audience asked that question. And I said, why should we even care? Why should we care about what other groups say?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And I think that's part of our problem when I say no compromise, no negotiation, is we tend to care about what others are going to think. We tend to care about how others are going to perceive us. At this point, we shouldn't care. Why should we? We have gone through a system where our ancestors worked for corporations that still exist, that in some of those corporations employ our people now. Our ancestors worked for them, gave them over 300 years of free labor. We went through redlining. We went through 100 years of lynchings. We went through Jim Crow. We've gone through civil rights, but we never dealt with the issue of human rights. We have never gotten any reparations for the Holocaust and genocide that was committed against us. Every other group has. The Japanese got reparations. Even the Native Americans, to a certain extent, got some form of reparations in the form of gambling casinos and that sort of thing. And so I think we have to get to a point that, you know what, we've been carried as a group. Part of the reason we've been carried as a group is because we don't stick together in the way that we should. But the other part is that we're too busy worried about what other people think of us. We have to get past that. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care if other groups think that we're throwing temper tantrums and all of that, because that within itself, them even thinking that and speaking out, that within itself is a temper tantrum on their part.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no validity to what we were saying, if there was no validity, they would shut up and keep it moving. They would say, oh, those people over there are crazy. The fact of the matter is that they know that we are the real chosen people, and we're the only people that don't know it.
So I want to say this as well. Now, with the election, and I do already know how you feel about that, but still, no, with the election that did just pass and all, don't you think in hindsight, if it was a real stand on addressing issues or what we're talking about now, it would have been addressed as soon as those people had gotten sworn into office, and they could have changed those laws right then and there? What do you think is now the aspect of the holdup?
I don't see any holdup. I see it as being business as usual.
Okay.
That hasn't happened in this country. And if there has been a law to be changed immediately, or somebody to jump on something immediately, it has it has been against us. It has never been in our favor. And so I think
right.
we have to keep that in mind with the political regime that we have. I always remind people that Obama had his first 4 years, Obama had the House and the Senate. He had both the House and the Senate on lock.
Mm-hmm.
He had his group. He wanted to do Obamacare for the first 4 years. Obamacare that many people can't even afford. And So I think that we have to come to the realization that none of these politicians are for us. Politicians, I say it all the time, they're no different than car salesmen. You know, they're going to sell you what they can. As soon as that car leaves the lot, you got to just hope that it's not a lemon. But their job is to sell. And they don't care about you after that car salesman makes that sale to you. He's met his numbers. The only thing he's worried about now is his compensation for that car that he sold. He don't care about you anymore as a customer. And it's the same thing with these politicians. People go out, stand in lines, vote them in. After they're voted in, they don't care until the next election cycle when they need your vote again. Then they'll come around. But, I mean, it's a farce, and we get caught up in it.
Now, since we are talking about no compromise, no negotiation, let's speak upon the importance of the unity walk that you have put up and actually have going around and actually have going other plans going forward. Speak upon that just a little bit, the importance of the unity walk in contrast to what we're speaking about today.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, Joel. So part of the reason for the creation of the Unity Walk is exactly what we're talking about: no compromise, no negotiation. My position is that we need to bring our communities together. We don't need to depend on anybody for that except us. There's problems that we as a group of people need to address, which is why I've created Unity Walk in the way that I have. It's for melanated people. No other groups are allowed. Meaning Europeans. They are not allowed at the meetings. But I honestly believe that we have enough resources of our own to pull ourselves up ourselves. And part of the resource is our human capital. We are the resource. We are the human capital. When they look at us, they see money. They really do. Now, they look at to keep us impoverished as well. So I believe if we can put our dependence, Unity Walk is so that we can put our dependence on one another and stop putting our dependence on the same system that is trying to annihilate and trying to decapitate us economically and socially. So I've created Unity Walk. We go around the country. As a matter of fact, we have another one in New York on December 30th at 1942 Amsterdam Avenue at 156th Street. And it's for us to build. It's for us to build economically. It's for us to build socially. I have an acronym that I use that we adhere to called PLEES. And it's spelled PLEES. And it stands for politics, land, economics, education, and spirituality. And I think that these are the five principles that we need as a group of people to be successful in this country. Now, I mentioned politics. Politics is the first one. And basically what I'm talking about there is having a black political party, even if we call it the Black Party. I actually have a book coming out, and it's going to be out within the next few months, dealing with this acronym. And so my premise is that if we're going to be in this country, because I don't see people making a whole lot of strides to try to make it back to Africa anytime soon. So if we're going to be here, yeah, we do need to be part of the political process. But we need to have our own party. The Democrats, the Republicans, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, they haven't done anything for us, and they're never going to do anything for us. So we need our own party, and we need our own lobbyists. I want to
touch on that too real fast. No, I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to touch on that too just real fast, because I got a couple of brothers out here now speaking up on maybe independent voting. And have you ever even heard of that?
Independent voting? I've heard of it. I've heard of it. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, are you kind of like skeptical on that, or how do you feel about that in regards to what you're speaking up on now?
I'm skeptical only because I think that at this point in the game, we need to rely on our own numbers. And that means us coming together as a group, because even with independent voting, that can still divide us as a group of people. What Unity Walk is and what it comprises is us coming together as a group of people and working together, building an economic base. Talking about, because when we come together as a group of people, something that, and this also entails us working together. And these are things that we have to become used to. We have, as melanated people, we have to become used to working together, but working together under our own system. See, I believe that we can create a system within a system in this country. Other groups do it. The Asians do it. The Hispanics do it. I go through DeKalb, Illinois, and they have a little Hispanic community up there. They call it Little Mexico. They got their own bank. They got their own, for about 12 blocks, it's all Mexico. They got their own painters. They got their own engineers. They got their own electricians. But they have the things that are sustainable. The only thing that they really don't have that I see up there that they don't have is their own hospital. But everything else that is needed to make a community, and I'm not sure that they have a school, but I believe that they do. So they have the essentials for a community except for a hospital. This is what we as a group of melanated people can do in this country ourselves. We just need to do it.
All right. I do believe we do have a caller on the air. Caller, state your name. Caller, are you there? Welcome to the Wake Up Radio. Are you there?
Geraldine.
Okay, wonderful to meet you, Geraldine. Would you like to speak up on tonight's subject on no compromise, no negotiation?
No, just listen in.
Okay, we're listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you.
All right, but in any case, the importance of Unity Walk and the structure and format that your Arima is putting out there for us to take to get us together in a more suitable stance as far as character, living, breathing creatures upon this earth. Basically, that's what he's trying to establish. I can't put it no plainer than that. It's basically giving yourself a voice out here and recognition. You already got a voice, but now you need to be heard. And you want to be seen besides what you've been projected as. Can I agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also about work. It's also about work. It's also about people doing things behind the scenes to make a change, not only in their own individual lives, but in the community. And that's what we're talking about. This is a movement. We don't need politicians, because this is actually for the people. This is for the people that the politician is trying to reach, but the politician never does anything for. We can do that for one another. See, if you and I, brother, are working together, what do we need President Trump, Obama, Bush, any of them for? If we're working together, if I take a little dip and you're able to help lift me, say you have a business and you can provide me some employment and I can show my loyalty to you and help you build your business and we can grow together and hire some other black people on, what do we need anybody else for? See, black people have to get out of this mindset that we need somebody to save us or we need help. We are the help that we've been waiting for. And that's what Unity Walk is about. Unity Walk is about, you know what, nobody's coming to save you, but guess what, we can save ourselves. Unity Walk is about family. Unity Walk is about a brother and a sisterhood. Unity Walk is about melanated people getting together again and saying, wait a minute, you know what, we walk down streets in our communities every day and we don't even speak to one another. We got our heads down. We are so disenfranchised from one another. Unity Walk is that wake-up call that says, wait a minute, why am I not talking to my brother and sister? Let's talk, let's build. Matter of fact, do we even know how to work together? Do black people in this country even know how to work together? That's a foreign concept because we've been dependent for so long on other groups of people. Now, there are small blocks of black people that do work together in this country. But for the most part, we have not moved, for the most part, we have not moved almost one step for 50 years. And to me, that is mind-boggling with the people that we have had. And it's also intentional. It's by design. But with the leadership that we have had in this country, that should not be the case. And so Unity Walk says, hey, we're gonna come up out of this conundrum that we're in. We're going to come up out of this deprivation that we're in. We're going to come up out of this poverty that we're in. But we understand that we're not going to get any help with that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to count on our own human resources and we're going to count on our own economic resources that we have available to us. And for the brothers and sisters that don't have it, provide what you can. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that they can bring to the table.
And I believe that we were talking about yesterday, too, what was in conjunction to bring it to the table. How important is the youth as a resource in this format that we're speaking upon today?
Oh, they're essential because and they're essential because we have to start really thinking about 50, 100 years from now. And that's how I look at it in terms of what are we leaving behind? What type of legacy, what type of blueprint are we going to leave them? Because they're going to be here. This is not for the immediate gratification. This is for long-term building. And when I, as we move further in Unity Walk, this is really what I'm trying to feed the people as much as possible that, hey, sacrifices have to be made. You know, we might see a few fruits, but this is for the brothers and sisters, those young seeds that are coming after us, because they're going to have a hell of a time. And we have to start educating them early of the enemy that they are going to be up against. And, you know, when we say enemy, I think some people shy away from that, like, I don't want to. But speaking truth to power, you owe it to your seeds to let them know what they are up against. Because that's the armor that they are going to wear to go out into the world. And that can be the difference on their success or their failure. Because if they don't know what they're up against and you have it, and you know what they're going to be up against, it's your obligation to give it to them. And so I tell parents they need to start teaching they really need to start reading to their children while they're still in the womb. But between the ages of 2 and 12 is essential. Between those ages, 2 and 12, and yes, children are learning. They're learning every day. As soon as they come out the womb, they're learning. They're looking around. They want to know what's going on. So it's essential that the parent plays, they have to play a heavy role. They have to play a heavy role because there's so many other distractions out here that can take that child's mind, and it's really a fight for the mind of the child.
Correct. Now, I was speaking amongst brothers yesterday, and they were speaking upon if you just had one brother and he had 5 brothers looking out for him, and those 5 brothers had 5 brothers looking out for them, and then we could continue that cycle, we should be able to accomplish a lot of feats within that program.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's no reason that we can't do that. I think black men particularly, we have to get past the ego thing
we have to get past our egos. We have to get past the hate and envy that we have for one another, whatever it is. And I think that once that we've literally been played against each other. And one of the things that this society, that capitalism focuses on, is competition. Their focus is on you can be competitive, whether it be in business, whether it be in sports. You know, there's always that competitive nature. You're always trying to be better than the next man. But that hasn't worked for us, because we can all see the few individuals that have wins. But the fact of the matter is that it's disgraceful that out of 540 billionaires in this country, only three are black. You know, and that says a lot. We've been here longer than Europeans. We've been here longer than them. But that tells a story. We've been here millions of years, but particularly here in this country, we've been here much longer than the Europeans. So for there to only be three black billionaires in a country out of 540 million, or out of 540, that just shows the deprivation that we are in as a group of people. And that just shows that our lack of unity is one of the causes for that.
It definitely is. Definitely a leading cause towards that, amongst other things. But yes, unity definitely was breaking us apart. So I would definitely be strong and advise you to check out unitywalk.com. I believe that is. Is that it, correct?
Yes, www.theunitywalk.com. You got to put the in there, T-H-E. And just check out our page. Check out, we got our Facebook Unity Walk page, as well as it's on IG as well. So check out some of the beautiful people, some of the beautiful things that we are doing around the country. And it's that time. And then there's an economic component to this. Black people, we have to start getting used to spending with one another. We have to get that trust going. It's all right for us to spend money with one another. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we need to change the dynamics of that and start spending more with one another. I think we spend we are consumers. We spend $1.6 trillion per year, but only $12 billion of that goes to black businesses. So, again, we can never come out of the financial crunch. And part of the state of deprivation is that the person who holds the purse strings, they control it. So if we don't have none of them purse strings, we're not controlling anything. Then that means that we are at the mercy of somebody else. And if we're going to continue to be at the mercy of somebody else, eventually that will lead back to slavery.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for giving us a call in tonight. It's definitely appreciated amongst other things, because I do know your schedule is tight. And I just want to thank you for calling into the Make Me Free show here with Joel Saji on the Wake Up Radio. And also, we want to thank you all for tuning in. Shout out to Ra on the boards, and also our producer, Sydney Ashby. Tune in next week, Sunday, 9 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to On the Wake Up Radio. This was a segment called Make Me Free, and I am, again, your host, Joel Saji. Again, we want to thank Yarima for tuning in with us tonight.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
And definitely, definitely well honored and appreciated as well. Again, we want to thank you all for tuning in. Till next time.
Oh, yeah, he's going up 30 minutes here. 30 minutes.
Their hearts and their soul always.